The title of our lesson today is Obey God Rather Than Men. And our devotional background study comes from Daniel chapter 3, verses 10 through 28. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school. Our lesson text today comes from Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 39. And again, the title is Obey God Rather Than Men. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, head in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." And so we have Peter and the apostles here being commanded by these Jews, these elders and priests, to stop talking about Jesus because they were having an effect. They were stirring people up. They were bringing the gospel to people, and people were getting saved. And these men here understood that that their way of living, their way of worshiping, was being changed, and they didn't like that. They were losing power. They were losing prestige. They were losing, I suspect, financial gain. I don't know. I mean, but whatever the case, they set their faces against Peter, the apostle. They set their faces against God, against Jesus. And they were determined here. What it says in the 33rd verse, they took counsel to slay them. They were trying to decide, how are we going to see that these men get put to death? And then Gamaliel stands up and he gives them some words of advice here, good words of advice. But the title of our lesson is to obey God rather than men, and I want to focus on that somewhat here. And I want to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 26 and let's see, 26 verse 16 in Deuteronomy, and it says, "This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul." And the reason I wanted to read that was because when we think about obeying God, we need to think about it in a deep sense, not the sense that sometimes we go through the forms and the rituals, because that's what the Pharisees, that's kind of a trap that they had fallen into. They had made it all, and I think it was Paul that said they have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. In verse 16 here, the intent is that we as God's children worship God and obey Him from the heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with everything that's within us. It's something that's deep. It's not superficial. It's not a vain ritual. It's not just showing up on Sunday mornings because that's what we think we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be here with all of our heart. And that's what he's saying here in the 16th verse. Keep this with all your heart, all your soul, everything that's within you. Obey God. Worship Him. Now, that's the start. That's the attitude that we need to have. But we've got to go a little bit further here over into Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, because this what I read in Deuteronomy is an attitude. That's the way that we ought to be approaching the worship of God with everything that we have. So what does it say in the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So we see here that to obey God, we go at it with all our hearts, with everything that's in us. And then what do? Meditate therein day and night. This isn't something that only occurs a couple of hours a week, you know, between 10 and 12 or 1 on the first day of the week for us. It says here to meditate, to think on these things, to take this book. Now, he's speaking here, the law shall not depart, and that's not, we don't have the law of Moses. Although we do have the Ten Commandments, and it's good for us to review those occasionally and to think about those, think about what God's intent was. But we have this book here before us, this Bible, and I believe that it's God's will that we would study that day and night to meditate upon it. Not necessarily that we're going to be reading the Bible 24 hours a day, but we can think back about the things that we read earlier in the day. We can turn those over in our minds and give thought to them throughout the day. And I think that's what Joshua's telling his people here. Don't let this get away from you. Don't put it to the side and let dust collect upon your Bibles would be the way that I would see it today as it applies to us today. But to keep it continually before us, keep God's precepts before us, the way that He'd have us to live our lives, the things that He'd have us to do, the things that He would have us to pray about. And it says here that to do all that is written therein, then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You'll have good success because when you are serving God with all your heart and all your mind, and you're meditating upon the things of God, your heart's going to be therein, and you're going to desire to serve Him. You're going to desire to do what He had you to do. I want to go over now to 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is Samuel, and he's speaking to Saul after that. Saul has been commanded to go out and to destroy the Amalekite, this other people. He didn't do it. He didn't obey God completely. Now, he did go out and they destroyed a lot of people, but they took, well, it says in the 21st verse, Saul says, responding to Samuel, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, because that's what they have been commanded to do, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. But Saul's just making an excuse here, because Saul was the king and he was responsible, and he could have stopped the people, I believe. But he's backpedaling, he's blaming the people here. And Samuel said in the 22nd verse, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken better than the fat of rams. So Samuel's telling Saul, it didn't matter what those people did, what they told you, obedience to God is what was important. That's what God would be pleased with. God wasn't going to be pleased with this
these sacrifices that these people, that Saul says these people wanted to make. God wasn't going to be pleased with them because that wasn't his will. That wasn't, they weren't being obedient to him. And any time that any person is disobedient to God, that is displeasing to God. And so that was the place that Saul was in here. But let's read on just a little bit further here in the 23rd verse. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So Saul, because of what he's done here, because he hasn't been obedient to God, has lost it all. He's lost his position as king. But what really strikes me here is, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness, I have to say that I'm a stubborn person sometimes. I don't know about you, but has God ever asked you to say no? You're not. Okay. It's okay. It's not okay.
That's what he did for talking about.
I just walked that out of the corner of my eye. But stubbornness is as iniquity. Stubbornness is sin. Stubbornness is disobedience to God. And all kidding aside, all joking aside, it's hard not to be stubborn sometimes. God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it. That's stubbornness. Now, you might go ahead and do it, but there is, or you might not. But it's just our nature. I think it's just our nature when God puts something on our heart to do, to say, no. You can look back at when God called men in the Old Testament, like Moses, the first thing that we want to say is, I don't think that's not a good idea, God. I don't think so. But it says here that it's adultery, it's iniquity, and rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. I don't believe anybody here would ever want to be caught for a second engaged in any type of witchcraft. But I'm afraid everyone here, well, I can't speak for everyone here. I'll say that I've rebelled against God in times past. I'll say that, I dug my heels in and I don't want to do something. And it's a serious thing. It's disobedience to God. And as I studied this lesson, I kind of focused on obedience. And you can find a lot of things in the Bible concerning obedience to God, how it is pleasing to God. You can also find a lot of things about disobedience to God and what comes about from a people that's disobedient. And I'm sure that you can sit there and think about the things that happened to the children of Israel. It was all because of disobedience, and some really horrible things come to pass when people are disobedient to God. And again, that's whether they're a saved person or lost. Now, the reason I say lost people, because it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet, people are disobedient, they're stubborn, they won't submit to God's will there. Now, I'm getting finished in a hurry here. I've got one other thing that I want to turn to here, and this is, it seems a little bit off, it seems a little bit not in line with our text, our lesson today, but I think it is in First. Okay, this is going to take a minute here because I didn't put myself a mark in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God that we be a thankful people. And so, if it's the will of God, that's what it takes for us to be an obedient people, to be thankful. And it's not terribly difficult for me to be thankful that I've got a nice car, or I've got an air-conditioned church here to worship in, or I've got plenty of food and I've got water. Those I am thankful for those things. But it says in everything give thanks. And you read back on some of the things that Paul was thankful for. Paul and the apostles were thankful that they were counted worthy to suffer persecutions. I have a little bit more trouble being thankful for that, I'll be honest with you. And yet, I think that's what he's telling us here. In all things, be thankful, because God is with us. We that are saved, God is with us. And we need to be thankful for that. And, we're going to come under hard times. We're going to have problems in our lives. God will be there for us. We need to be thankful for that. So that's the will of God, that we be a thankful people. Now, I've only kind of lightly touched on a lot of these things. I hope that you've got something out of it. But I guess to sum it up, it's the obedience to God is with everything that we've got. Superficial, I guess would be the word. It's not wholehearted. I bow down to pray, and it's thank you, God, for all that you've given me. Bless this day, be with me today. Amen. Really fast, just comes from the mind. That's not obedience to God. That's not pleasing to God. But when you feel it in your heart, and it comes through from the very depths of your soul, that's worshiping God with all your heart and all your soul. And we can get there if we are willing to. But I think that goes back to Joshua 1 and 8, to meditate upon these things, to study our Bibles, to pray about it, to really give ourselves over to it, rather than just being in a hurry to get finished with prayer so you can get on with your life, get on with whatever it is you've got planned for the day. That's not putting God first. One more thing and I'll be done here. This is in Psalms 143, verse 10. This is a psalm of David. And he says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." David here is saying to God, "Teach me." He understands that with things. Now, David had these scriptures, this Deuteronomy and Joshua. He understood those. He had those things to think about and meditate on. And he says to the Lord, "Teach me." That's where we are today. We need for God to teach us how to obey Him. We need Him to give us guidance and strength. We can do everything that we can and be as obedient as possible. We're still going to fall short. God knows that. He's willing to help us with that. But we've got to ask Him. We've got to turn to Him and be willing to listen, be willing to hear. I think that's everything I've got today. Does anybody have any thoughts or any comments? We do have a lot to be thankful for. I'll say that.
Which verse was
it?
It
was 143 and verse 10, a Psalm of David. When I was reading this, I just noticed in the 37th verse in the Sunday school book, "After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing." Now, I'm guessing there was more than one time of taxing there, but, you know, Mary went to give birth in the time when the taxes were levied. I'm wondering if this Judas of Galilee rose up in the time when Mary went to give birth to Jesus. I don't know, that thought crossed my mind. I don't know. It's interesting. Does anybody have any thoughts? Any comments? Appreciate everybody being here today.
Amen.
I guess we have some people out traveling. If everybody's ready to be dismissed until 11, keep Brother Spurgeon in our prayers. Lord, I'll be with him. I'll ask Jimmy if he would to dismiss us.
Father, once again, this day, for many blessings for Sunday school and ones brought to us. Father, show us the divine service of us, Virgin. Each and every one of us, Father, for everything that's pleasing to you, do the things that you have to do for you. This special way, in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen.